Welcome back to the Inside Pass, News 24's daily dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. We're back in our Cape Town studios today. My name is Lloyd Bernard. I'm going to be joined by Kaniso Chwaku, who is still on the ground in Toulon, surely missing home by now. Chwaks, morning.
Good morning, Lloyd. I hope all is well.
Am I correct in assuming that this far into your Rugby World Cup journey, you are starting to miss certain South African things?
Not yet. Maybe a stage here and there, but Toulon's nice. Maybe in Paris, where the bed bugs may bite.
Well, rest assured that you remain the envy of all Springbok rugby fans back in South Africa who are watching your travels across France, and you continue to do sterling work for News 24. Keep it up. I suppose you're almost at the halfway mark now. Chwaks, we understand that yesterday was an off day for the Springboks, no training. How did they spend their day?
Most of them actually spend time with the families. I remember Dion Fourie actually saying after the Tonga game that his family has been here for the better part of the World Cup. I think the same is applicable to Andre Esterhuis, and I think Demi Delende also has his family. So the bulk of the players are traveling with their families. So they spend a lot of time off. I mean, yesterday actually I bumped into Dwayne Vermeulen at a taco shop in Lesable. That's actually on the way to catch a ferry. We just shared a short joke. I didn't want to buy the taco because I needed to go catch the ferry quickly because the circuit last one available on the normal service. But generally a day off is a day off. So they spend it. I mean, the one thing I actually walked past a restaurant, you know, the name of the place escapes me, but there was a picture there, a World Cup right picture with all the signatures of the players. So clearly they went and had supper then. I think also having shared a supper space from last year, they also very particular with their choices. So I suspect that they may have picked out that particular restaurant because it served some very good food. So I think they made that choice, and the fact that they left that particular frame, the painting with their signatures, speaks to how much they enjoyed their time there.
It sounds like Toulon has embraced the Springboks and has embraced the travelling trucks as well, that French accent trucks coming through more and more with every crossing to you these days. Listen, the Boks are back at it today. You know, the time for resting and family time for now is over. They're back at training, obviously not in action this weekend, but still preparing for next weekend's quarterfinals, where they would expect, barring a mathematical miracle, to be a part of the playoffs. Back at training today, and I suppose the talking point going in, Chwaks, will be that Lucanyo Am is on the ground. He has arrived safely, and you're gonna get a chance to see exactly what shape he's in.
Yes, indeed. Actually, just as we arrived here, it was a close session in particular, but I just saw the assistant coach of Grandina Stick and some backs just walking off the field. But where we are at reception, there's a bit of a decline, so we actually couldn't see exactly what they were doing. So understandably, so it's the training there, the close session. But I suspect that having seen him, and I think Damien Gialander was also finishing there, the backs had just finished a session. We have a press conference, and I think it's a 11:45 or 12:30, and then they'll have a full team session from 11:30 onwards. So the backs have just finished their work. So where we are at the moment, you are at the reception / restaurant side of the Toulon Rugby Club campus. The field is to my left at the moment where they train, and then the gym and the campus is on the other side of this very nice facility. And remember, there's also a restaurant here. But what they do is that when the team starts for the open 15-minute video session, everything is open. But then actually move patrons from the open side of the field and the restaurant. Then they put them inside. Then actually close the curtain for them not to see the full training session take place.
And what are you hoping to see from Lucanyo? I mean, I suppose you just want to see him moving freely and looking like he's not in any discomfort. I suppose trying to gauge those fitness levels as best you can.
Yes, especially the knee and the ankle, because, I mean, in speaking to Jimmy Wright on Monday, he made the point of saying that when Lucanyo came back from Argentina, he actually also had an ankle injury, and that wasn't something that was revealed to us. We saw what happened with the knee, but the auxiliary injury of the ankle wasn't actually explained to us. And I think now, but the one thing that Jimmy did say was that he actually had time to actually nurse and recover from both injuries, which is why the rest was actually necessary for him. So I think now it's basically to see how the knee and the ankle is holding up. Because I think Lukanya is a class player. So I think adapting to what the Fox have been doing won't be new to him. I actually remember that he's also been playing. He did play rugby before he got injured, so he would have been quite adept with where the team is was at the point in time. But again, I think now that lack of World Cup match play is rather different because the Boks are off this weekend. But I think, look, I mean, they've got a training session today. They've got another training session on Friday. But I think they've got another one on Sunday, depending on where they finish on the log. Because if they finish on the log, they'll train. If they finish first, they'll train earlier, and then they'll train later in the day. Then have a later press conference. If they finish second, they'll train earlier in the day and have an earlier press conference. I don't know how that. I would need to find out how they figure out those particular seedings. And I suspect that they may not, if they finish second, they may move to a different hotel in Paris and not go to Le Domaine de Banu, because that, according to the seedings, that's where the team at the top of the group, they get the first choice of the Paris hotel. So, and actually the hotel where the box stayed at is a very nice hotel, pretty far out of town, but it's got a training venue that is pretty much it's a 15-minute bus ride away. So for a team that wants to get away from all the distractions of Paris, it's a very nice place to stay. So I think we'll most probably find out this week what is the second option of where the box can stay and how that may have a slight impact on their preparation.
Yeah, I mean, where the Bucks finish in the group, obviously determined by what happens in this weekend's just massive pool game between Ireland and Scotland. Trucks, I wonder what you think about this, but, you know, in training now this week, between now and next weekend, when that quarterfinal will happen for the Springboks, in all likelihood, do you think they're training now with France in mind, given that that is the likeliest quarterfinal? Do you think everything they're going through now in terms of how they're running their players, how they're setting things up, is being done predominantly with France as an opponent in mind? Or do you think they still have to obviously, you know, because I presume there would be different plans for France and the All Blacks. I mean, what do you think there's a chance that everything happening now is kind of, you know, leaning towards preparing for a France quarterfinal?
Ideally so, but again, this is a box management that prepares for all eventualities. Because I think at the end of the day, it's really not rocking up for that All Black game if it effectively secured the All Black quarterfinal spot. I suspect that Italy will be better when playing France on Friday, but I can't see them beating France to upset the apple cart. So one would think that the box will prepare for France as well as they can. I mean, it's not like they don't know what France are about, especially after last year's trip to Marseille. But I mean, France will have added one or two things just to just make their attack in particular better. I mean, also France, I mean, the box will also need to prepare for a France with Antoine Dupont playing and a France with Maxime Lucou and the other scrum off playing. So they've got those two eventualities because France are a different team with their captain playing. They look far less attacking team without Antoine Dupont. So they need to prepare for those eventualities. And also the thing with the France is a very emotional side. The fact that they are quite structured and quite drilled under Fabien Galtier is true, but they remain a very emotional team. You'd find that the absence, if Dupont is not fit, does not make them a less dangerous side. Because then they will be carried by the fact that they need to now play for their captain, who was probably, in all likelihood, if he's not available for the quarterfinal, he'll be available for the final. Their idea is to let hold up our fort and let's see if we can get to the final to make sure that if at least he's fit, we get to the final and he's ready for the final. So France can and will be wide like that. I mean, we've seen it in the past. We saw in 99. How they somehow found some inspiration to get through the playoff stage without being very good. And then they literally switched up on the All Blacks. You saw in 2011 how they literally had to drag themselves through the pool stages, but somehow found a way to get to the final and were robbed in that final from an officiating perspective. So look, they remain a very dangerous side to France.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether Dupont is fit or Dupont is not fit, the box will have to prepare for those eventualities, but also keep an eye on how the All Blacks are playing, because yes, the All Blacks may have had a bit of a shaky run leading into the World Cup, but the fact that they've been preparing very quietly and the microscope is off them makes them a very dangerous team.
Yeah, it's actually been quite a disrupted tournament from South Africa's standards. If you compare, you know, the 2019 campaign, you know, where every single detail was mapped out and you know, everything obviously went according to plan, barring that first game against the All Blacks. But things have happened this time around. You know, a couple of injuries, a little bit of uncertainty around, you know, Pollard initially being excluded and then coming in, and then how that was going to impact the fly half selection with Marnie Lubbock. There've been concerns off the kicking tee. There've been, you know, concerns at hooker given the strange selection of, you know, not replacing Malcolm Marks with a specialist hooker. And then there's also this kind of thinking and a few, you know, critical theories going around that the Bucks just seem almost caught in between, you know, two minds at the moment in terms of philosophies and styles. We saw in that Ireland game, you know, picking a forwards bench where mauling for tries and points that way seemed the logical bet, but they went for poles, and it's felt a bit, you know, kind of disrupted. But talk to me about what you think the Bucks have got right at this tournament so far, Chucks. I mean, from what you've seen in the pool stages now, which are obviously over for South Africa, what's pleased you the most about what they've got right at the tournament?
Look, the box, the kicking game has been all sorts of magnificent for all intents and purposes. They've played some really good attacking. But I mean, if you look at the way that they ran Scotland off their feet in Marseille, then you look at how they varied the game so magnificently against Romania. And look at how they also varied the attacking game. I mean, it actually earned them toilets. From Andy Farrell and Jonathan Sexton, in terms of how they've managed their game. I think that has gone right. The scrums, they've also gone right. I think there have been one or two small issues, but the generally the scrums have decently gone right. So I think a lot of things have, the attacking game has been fine for the box. I think the scrums have been fine for the box. Selections, they've been okay. There hasn't been, let's say, bad selection calls. I mean, if you look at the form of a Corbis Reinach, yes, they chose to take four scrum moms, but he's probably been the one who's actually taken his last World Cup. He's actually made this tournament count for him. So those are one of the things that have been working out for the Springboks at the moment.
And defensively as well. I mean, you know, they've always been renowned for that kind of defensive system under Jacques. And what you've seen in the pool stages, I mean, they look as solid as ever in that department. I mean, leaked a couple here and there, but by and large, I mean, everyone seems very in tune with that defensive system. And, you know, when they get it right, they remain just an incredibly difficult team to break down.
Yes, and remember that in the two games that most probably they would have been expected to concede tries, that being Ireland, that being Scotland, in those two games only conceded one try.
Yeah.
And shutting out Scotland, they prevented Scotland from getting a losing bonus point. They prevented Scotland from getting a four-try bonus point. So that 18-3 win becomes so significant where the box are now, because they clearly shut the door. They only conceded one penalty. So now, should it come to that miracle mathematics that you referred off, that Scotland win becomes so important, because when it mattered, the box shut the door in Scotland. And then in that Ireland game, yes, they lost. They scored a try, they got a penalty, and they kept themselves within 7 points. So in also keeping Ireland to a manageable distance, they actually created a scenario for themselves where their defense wins World Cups. We've seen that time and time again, but yeah, their defense has probably allowed them to be in a position where now their quarterfinal participation is almost guaranteed. And then also shutting out Romania was magical for them in that they were able to get points without conceding points. And then in the Tonga game, when they went for points, they did concede points, but they didn't concede enough points to imperil their points differential.
Katie, thank you so much for joining us. We'll let you get back to it. I know you're at the training venue now. Enjoy the rest. We're loving the coverage. Keep it coming. We'll wrap it up there. The Springboks preparing for a Rugby World Cup quarterfinal, not this weekend, but next weekend. But before any of that happens, obviously, Ireland against Scotland, Saturday night, 9 o'clock, a crucial game for those two teams, but also South Africa in terms of determining where they end up in Pool B. Pool stage action, meanwhile, resumes tomorrow night, where New Zealand are expected to not have too many troubles against Uruguay. France, Italy, then on Friday night is a tasty one. This has been the Inside Pass. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. All the best.
you.